flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
You can listen to the show on the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app and listen to 97.1, the Ticket, for a chance at the ultimate trip to Vegas. Happy Wednesday. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. We are officially into the Lions offseason. And before we get to players they may draft down the line or free agents they may target, it starts in-house. How about a little stay or go free agent edition? Tom's got names.
All right, I think the first one's the biggie. Carlton Davis.
Should he stay or should he go? I say stay. Now, it's going to depend. Does he want like a 3 or a 4 year deal? That's where it gets dicey, but he's everything they could have wanted and more.
Mm-hmm.
Man coverage, veteran, and he played very well. He's a Super Bowl champion. To me, that's a stay.
I think it's a stay as well. And you know, part of it, if you're going to bring back or promote somebody within as defensive coordinator, why are you doing that? It's consistency. It's terminology. You have a guy that has played in the system that Kelvin Shepard is familiar with, knows his skill set. Why bring in somebody else to do a similar job? Now, if you're going to try and majorly upgrade, you're going to have to go out and spend a whole bunch of money. And it will come down, and a lot of these guys kind of come down to, what are you willing to spend and what's the term going to be? But I think for Carlton Davis, he proved his value. And I think this is a guy that you definitely want to bring back.
You want someone you trust if you're going to play man. You got to put him on an island, and he'll come up in the run game. He's a perfect fit.
Yeah. No more than 2 years, though. No way. No way.
I might go 3.
I think you start 3
if it's really only 2, though. I mean, you can get kind of fuzzy with it. Yeah.
All right. Levi Onwuzurike.
This is a hard no for me. And I know that there was a lot of discussion coming out of training camp. Oh, he's healthy, and look at what he could do. He could play all 4 spots. He was still limited in what he was able to do. I didn't like him coming out. 1 year out of the 4 he's been able to play. Hey, and he may have played well enough to for somebody to pay him, just not the line. It's a very Jonah Jackson-esque, I think, player.
I think Jonah Jackson did more than he did.
Yeah, there's no question he did more, but you didn't want to sign him for $20 million a year. Yeah,
to me, this is go. And I feel like we had smoke blown up our, you know what. Like, yeah. He just never delivered.
It flashed for like one game, I think. But with him, that's a Brad Holmes admission, by the way. Highest pick, he will not resign. All right, next one. Kevin Zeitler.
Stay. He was super productive last year. The offensive line's the engine. And I want to have depth. Maybe Mahogany displaces Glasgow when Glasgow becomes a flex player who can play center or guard. But I like depth. I like productive players. I'd keep Zeitler.
It's going to come down to money, and it's going to come down to amount of years. Now, he was on a one-year deal. Was it a one-year prove-it deal? If you prove it, we're going to give you a two-year deal. I don't know that I want to go 2 years because he did miss time. So this one is a...
You could say go and replace him.
I think it's if you can get him at the right price and the right length, then yes. But I'm fine with Mahogany stepping in there and addressing backups in a different way.
All right, I think this one's interesting. A little bit of an unsung one with fans. Tim Patrick.
I said go. He was productive, but I don't think he's someone that's bolted down here. I think that's a spot you could actually upgrade too, depending on how the offseason goes.
I agree. I think that we've seen that position, that receiver position, you want to call it 3, 4, whatever you want to call it, is kind of interchangeable. You get a guy that you can rely upon for 1 year and it works, it helps, but he's had injury issues.
This one's very interesting to me. I think the toughest one on the list, actually. Derek Barnes.
Stay.
I agree. I think he provides great depth. He provides great flexibility. He can play a number of different linebacker positions.
Special teams, too.
Yep. I think he's a guy that is valuable to this team. And I also think he's a guy that has proven his worth, but is not going to – he's not going to command a big contract.
He's not going to break the bank.
No.
All right. The next one, Ife Melifonwu.
No. I think this one's easy. And I know that, you know, coming in at the end of the last couple of years, he's been a nice addition and it's been fun. But if you can't stay on the field, we can't be counted on for 15 of the 17 games, certainly not 17 games, then no.
I had him as a stay, but these are fringe guys, right? I think he has a role, third safety. It's just a shame he wasn't healthy at the large portion of this season.
Is that the first one you guys disagreed on?
Yeah, I think so.
No, Zeitler. I was fine with
I was stay, he was go.
Okay. Marcus Davenport.
Go.
Go.
Because on the list, sorry.
Yeah, and I mean, if you could ever get the most out of him, then yeah, and it was a good gamble, but he's a China doll. He just gets hurt.
And that's a spot I want him to upgrade, by the way, too. Yeah. I wouldn't just feel comfortable rolling it back with him.
I said that unsung fan favorite kind of Tim Patrick this year a little bit, but this is the true fan favorite, Dan Skipper.
To me, this one is a stay. And I don't care about the whole fan favorite. This is a guy that when he came in, the first time he came in to play left tackle when Decker was down, I thought, oh, no. And it was not good. But the next time, he was serviceable. I think he's a swing tackle that can be a backup on either side. We've seen what he can do as an extra offensive lineman. I think he provides really good value.
He is an amazing locker room guy. His story is the stuff we all love. I want to see them upgrade the third tackle spot. I don't know how long Decker is going to be as productive as he's been. I'd like to invest in a swing tackle, so I would let Skipper go.
All right, next one. Khalil Dorsey.
Go.
Yeah, this is a guy that he can come in and play a very limited role. And the term I have down here and for the next guy is upgradable. Could certainly upgrade him, and it's not going to cost you a lot.
Yeah, and this next one, there's an acronym now, ABV, and it's anybody but Vildor. I think that's what fans want. I think that's what we want. Just, you know what? You've got to have a depth guy. So Kendall Vildor, do you want him back?
Again, upgradable. I'm jumping ahead in the line here, but I mentioned both guys. Upgradable. I think he gets a bad rap for the ball going off his face mask in the NFC Championship game. He did play at times as a serviceable corner or nickel corner, but again, you're not going to have to pay much to upgrade.
PFF graded him out as 114th out of 118 players at his position. It's not just us that don't like him. You can go.
All right, the next one, I'm going to butcher this maybe, but Al Quadin Muhammad.
Oh, good job.
I think that's good. He had a couple moments this year. I'd keep him. Stay. Yeah.
You're talking about some depth guys here that I think do provide good depth, and he can come in and give a guy a breather for a couple of plays. You can rotate him in, and I think he's a guy, when you start talking about having to pay him, you're paying him for, what, 10 to 12 plays per game, max? And so that's how you've got to value him. But he can come in those 10 to 12 plays, you're not going to get a huge drop-off.
Last one, Teddy Bridgewater.
This is interesting. And I think that this opens up the rabbit hole to go down for Hendon Hooker, the QB2, and what happens if Goff gets hurt. I don't even want to talk about if Goff gets hurt, but I think you bring him back because I don't think Hendon Hooker is developing into the guy that they thought he would be. And Bridgewater's not old. Like, I know he stepped away, but what is he, 32? He is a guy that could still be serviceable like he was in that game.
I think it's a lower ceiling with him as the backup, right?
It's a lower ceiling, but this is higher some of the stuff that I hate during the draft. Lower ceiling, but higher floor. He's safe. That's a great way to put it. I think he's safe.
What's going on with Brunell? Is he staying?
I don't think we know yet.
So he could be, Bridgewater could be the quarterback coach.
Very well could be.
I was going to say that. He's already been into coaching, and I think that's the direction he wants to go. I think you still have to give Hendon Hooker a shot to be the backup quarterback. This was a go for me, but he could stay on the coaching staff.
Can I throw something else at you? And you didn't get to prepare, so it's a little unfair.
It's fine.
Who on this roster is most likely going to be the most surprising departure? And it can be on this list, or it could be somebody else.
Like a cut candidate, you're saying?
Yeah, just... Sorry. I shouldn't have done that to you. Yeah, I will not hold this to you.
Oh, boy. I'm trying to look at this. I think...
All right, you don't have to answer.
Zadarius?
Yeah. Maybe.
There's a roster bonus. They may have to rework that. They may just want to pivot somewhere else. I don't know. You're not holding me to it, but there's a name that's out of left field that maybe could surprise people if he wasn't back. Zeitler would be the other one, but I don't know how surprising it is given he's getting older. And even Holmes kind of, in his press conference, Brad Holmes acknowledged, hey, you know, as you get older, there are some considerations there.
I think the big surprise might be Derek Barnes. I think there is somebody out there that might decide that he is worth more than the Lions are willing to pay him.
Could see that. At Stay or Go, Lions Free Agents, 97.1.
Well, good morning. It is the Carson Anderson program on a sunny Monday in Detroit. Sunny in terms of the weather. and that's about it as it pertains to football. Hope you had a great weekend. And I'm intrigued at how many people were able to get back on track. We're still sort of reeling from what happened a week ago. It's the Carson Anderson program. We'll get into that coming up momentarily. I know people from the morning show still want to talk and sound off. I will let you know Gator's out sick today. Hope to have him back soon, but wish our buddy the best, and we'll keep you updated on that. Okay, look, so this weekend of championship football, a weekend that I historically, and I think many people historically, I'm not the only one, have kind of come to love. It was a big deal. It, you know, the back-to-back games with so much riding on the line to, you know, get to the ultimate game, get to the Super Bowl. And we had visions of what it would be like to be in this game. Last year, we got to experience what it was like to be in the game. Those of us who were around in the 90s also experienced it, but the thrill for us is still out there as a dream, right? Still out there as a dream. And of getting to the Super Bowl. And we are left to imagine what it would be like. This great weekend of football, the Lions have changed me. I found myself... It was like midway through the first half of the Chiefs-Buffalo game, maybe late second quarter. I'd watched the first game. I had a hockey game, so I was streaming a game on the bench. and end up getting back to the house. And I'm watching Chiefs-Bills, And I don't know if anybody else did this because there was a weird empty feeling, like something I wasn't accustomed to. Basically, my whole adult life, this was a big day. And I sat there asking myself these existential, what's it all about questions. Like, I'm like, why football? Why are my emotions so tied to teams battling over real estate on a 100-yard grid? Why is this such a big deal? And I'm like asking these questions, these philosophical questions, and then I stop and I go, what the hell am I doing? Like, why am I asking these questions? Why am I, but I guess it's just the emptiness of looking at this whole thing through a different prism. The whole idea that we just want to be a participant. We just want our team and feel like our team is good enough to be in the mix. And our team was good enough to be in the mix. There's no question our team was good enough to be in the mix. They picked a terrible day to have a bad day. A terrible day to have a big day. And that's the thing, is there's no guarantees. Dan Campbell said it last year. There's no guarantees they're going to be back. The Lions have all of the characteristics of a team that objectively should be around for a while competing. They do. They just do. You can't be that good with that many young pieces, with that GM, that coaching staff, that many injuries, and in theory, that many players returning next year. You can't be that good and objectively say the run is over, the window's closed. But anything can happen. Sports are crazy. They're not scripted. And so, I mean, I can already see it. No matter who wins a Super Bowl, the Lions are going to be one of the favorites to get there next year. There's going to be a ton of people picking the Lions to win it all. A ton of people. We are so firmly in the mix here, and it feels like we're here to stay. And maybe that's why Sunday felt like such an empty feeling. My entire adult life, I'd grown accustomed to not being a participant and sort of accepted it and just watched those games on Sunday for what they were. Huge games with massive implications. And sort of, I was on the, you know what it was? I was outside the fence looking in. We didn't have the proper credentials to get into the authorized area. Now we have the proper credentials to get into the authorized area, and we got denied anyway. And that's where I'm asking myself these philosophical existential questions. Why do I even care? And it was ridiculous. 248-539-9797. Gator out sick today. We're in a different place. Detroit's in a different place. Detroit's in a place where we belong. We know we belong. It's not a stretch to say we belong. We're not there. And that's the hard part to accept. We're not there, but we know we belong. We know we belong. And so how do I sit back and watch these games on Sunday? Way differently. Way differently. And honestly, it's, I don't like it. I didn't like it at all. I like belonging. But you know what? It really just shows that 1 week later, I don't think my emotions have started to scar over, right? They haven't. The wound is still open, and it hurts.
Yeah, if you've been longer, if you've been a Lions fan longer than 2023, you're used to watching the Lions not make it this far in the playoffs. You're used to watching the NFL playoffs not involving the Lions.
Yep.
But things have drastically changed the last couple of years. And so now when we watch this past weekend, it definitely is different. It's not the same. There's pain still there from last weekend. And for me, it didn't hit me right away. Like, I obviously wasn't, it didn't have the same enthusiasm as I normally would.
Yeah.
But it didn't really, really hit me until like the middle of the first quarter where I just saw the crowd and I saw that they're playing obviously in Philly. And I'm thinking, this game should be at Ford Field right now. And that's when it kind of just kind of hit me really hard. Like, I knew going in wasn't, you know, obviously the Lions weren't in it, but it didn't really hit me until middle of the first quarter.
So you bottomed out middle of the first quarter.
Yeah, from there on, it was just like, I'm just watching the game.
Emotionally, yeah. You bottomed out in the middle of the first quarter. It's funny you say that. You know when I bottomed out? I had NFL Network on Sunday morning, and they went to a live shot in the parking lot at Lincoln Financial Field. And then they went to a live shot outside GEHA Stadium in Kansas City. And I just kept thinking, that's the experience that we are being denied. That's what Detroit had. It was there for the taking. I bottomed out at about, I don't know what time, it was like 11:20 on Sunday morning, 4 hours before the first game even started.
So, I mean, you were before. Because, and you know, as the game's going along, I did think, like you, Doug, at halftime, I see the Fox crew there on the field, and I asked myself, where would they have broadcasted had this game been in Ford Field? I was, like, torturing myself with stupid questions. Why am I even thinking about that? Why am I even asking where would they have broadcast from, and, you know, what would they have done, and who would have done the story on what, you know? Why? Why am I doing this?
Yep. And that's... You know, but it was a weird day. It was a weird day. Detroit, how did you feel? And at any point Sunday, did you bottom out? Where it just, it was like, I don't know if I can do this. I know some people said on Friday they weren't even going to watch. And I think those are legitimate emotions of what is a different kind of hurt for Detroit as it pertains to the Lions. Look, huge Piston game tonight. I do want to talk about it as Cleveland, the Pistons in Cleveland take it on the Cavs, measuring stick game against the one seed in the East. Red Wings on a bit of a roll as well with a couple of wins, the shot barrage game against Montreal, and then a 2-0 win against Tampa on Saturday. All those things are on the agenda. Mondays also mean Champ and Chump. Get your votes in for Champ and Chump of the weekend. I'll have mine today at 10:35. And yeah, the morning show was talking about conspiracy theories and do the Chiefs get all the calls? I'll give my 2 cents on that at some point today, but we want to talk to you and we start to do that next here on 97.1 The Ticket.
All right, 3:00. Good to have you with us. Odyssey.com Rewind. You missed anything? Also check out our YouTube, the Plenty Rico Show. Simple. Just subscribe. It's free. Why? Evan tells me that helps us. I think that's a pretty nuanced description.
Yeah.
I don't do algorithms. So listen, we started the show in a very open-ended manner. I have no problem continuing it. Lots of people want to talk. But if you watch the games this weekend, want to know what your emotional state is, what was your takeaway? And not in a sense of, I really like the, you know, the approach by this. No. Your takeaway in your year's over. The year was a failure. Injuries robbed you. So did your performance against the Commanders. The Eagles blowing the doors off the Commanders made me feel better because it let me understand just how far away you really were. You weren't beating the Eagles. It's in essence, they saved you the pain. It's like the difference between dying in your sleep or getting hit by a car. I don't know. Choice A sounds better. And the other one was watching the Bills. Well, go full Bills. Losing in the most heartbreaking manner to the same team. And there was a controversial call where I'm sorry, Taylor had the earpiece in. That ref who ran in from the Chiefs bench with a totally obstructed view to change the spot, even as Gene Steratore said they got the first down. Look.
Actually, two controversial calls.
Oh, yeah, the Xavier Worthy thing. Yeah. Yes.
The bottom line. Because that one is the one I think that I would be livid if I was a Bills fan.
My two takeaways are, you know what? As bad as this was, it could have been a lot worse. A, you could be a Bills fan. You could be one of the best teams in the league for 5 straight years and have nothing to show for it. You've only done it twice. And the other part was the Eagles playing the way they played. Hurts was totally healthy. He looked mobile. The passing game was back. A.J. Brown put the book down. caught some passes. The running game's fierce. The defense is fierce. It's like, yeah. You know what? I'm happy to not have to look at Nick Sirianni bleep talking the fans here in Detroit. So I walked away from this weekend. Actually, it was cathartic. I felt good. But I want to know what you guys think. Look, I got into an argument with Cookies on the podcast about it. He was all bent out of shape. But I still wanted to be there. And I'm like, to do what? Great, you made the game against the Eagles, and then you had to watch Nona get shot in the head.
Because if you're there,
what is the point?
Because if you're there, you give yourself a mathematical chance of pulling off an upset. You give yourself a chance at making the Super Bowl. If you don't play in the game, there's no way you can win.
And my point is, by not playing, you avoided real pain. If you thought the Commanders game was bad, what would losing the first and only and probably last NFC Championship game in Detroit? Yeah. What would that feel like? Oh, and getting dotted by 20.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm good with it.
Well, I mean, you're already questioning the whole validity of the 15-2 season. But yes, if you were to play the Eagles, you would see, wow, we did all of this just to watch the pain, I guess, in 70-degree weather rather than watching it in the cold.
So that's what we want to know. And if you didn't watch, there's no shame. I just wonder what the hell you did with your time. But those two results, I walked away not feeling good, but I felt better about things because I don't live in delusion. You weren't beating the Eagles. You didn't have enough bodies. I don't need that. I mean, I made the joke in the first hour to you. I said, look, at least if my team's bad, I can emotionally detach and just move on. Like, the Giants are terrible.
Yeah.
I'd rather do that than whatever the hell the Bills are attempting to accomplish. What the hell do you even say? Imagine if the Lions lose a couple more years in the playoffs like this. What's it all for?
Right.
See, this is my question is, did this season change you as a Lions fan? Now, this topic is probably way too deep, but I'm fascinated by the psychology of fan behavior. We've all gone on our own journey of fandom. The me of 10 years ago was different than the me of 20 years ago. With it, my fandom has gone a certain direction. It's been replaced by jaded pragmatism and cynicism. But I want to know, as a Lions fan, look, many of you went on a magic carpet ride this year or the last 2 years, and you have nothing to show for. Now, last year, Rico's right. It was so magical. Maybe you let yourself off the hook by blowing the opportunity to go to a Super Bowl because it was a year ahead of time.
Uh-huh.
It was unexpected. It was this amazing thing. Everyone went into this year where the Lions, for most of the season, were either the top choice or the number two choice to win it all. This whole thing, 15-2, we're coming to your city, takeovers, credit card debt, chaos, garbage cans, disco shirts, MVP, Jared Goff chance at churches, all of it. It was all for nothing.
Yeah.
Does this change you as a fan to where now, you look at it differently?
Yeah.
Because I don't think the innocence is possible.
I was about to say, the innocence is gone. You don't see this differently anymore. You were forced to grow up. And now you have to be an adult about things and realize, you know what? Certain things matter. Certain things are fun. And certain things are meaningless. Whereas this season, everything mattered. Everything was fun. And everything had meaning. And it really doesn't.
You know, think about this. This would drive me to madness. Like, we, you know, Jared Goff had a really nice year, but he didn't have this kind of year. Josh Allen finishes the season with a 92 Pro Football Focus grade. So just right off the rip, that's an insane grade. 5,000 passing yards, 46 touchdowns, 6 picks. You know what you got to show for it?
An MVP trophy.
Still got nothing.
Nothing,
that
right.
would drive me to madness.
You're right, especially if Lamar ends up with the MVP. You got nothing.
He cut the turnovers. He played the best football of his life. And still, he had the football, down 3, chance to really rewrite history and write, cement a legacy, and clean up ILU.
Yeah.
So when you think about being a Lions fan, and you watch those games this weekend, are your takeaways different than ours? And then there's this additional question. I want you to really search your soul on it. Do you believe
you are changed forever as a fan because of the success of the last 2 years. They've never had it. You've never really been a Super Bowl caliber team. Reminder, 1991, I'm not making fun of you. You were 17-point underdogs at RFK Stadium. One of the largest spreads in playoff, or if not the largest spread in playoff history.
Uh-huh.
So you weren't that type of team.
Right.
Last year, 7 points. This year, you were 9.5-point favorites.
Yeah.
You've seen both ends of the spectrum. The point is, you were good enough. Are you different now? Because I'm with Rico on this. I think the innocent is gone, and you look at these two teams, and you look at what these fans are going through, and you go, okay, this is the terms of, terms of use.
Yeah. Here's the problem.
What?
You've reached a point now, and think about this, Mike. It's the reason why it's hard to get excited about the Wings and the Pistons and even the Tigers, because you saw a winning team, you saw greatness, and if you're not close to greatness, well, call me when you're ready. For the Lions fans, I think that the just because it is Honolulu blue and silver won't cut it anymore. Now it's, okay, is this going to help us win the Super Bowl? No, then I don't care. Is this going to get us over the hump to get into the Super Bowl? No, well, then I don't care.
See, I think what you're saying about the Pistons and Wings is spot on. I'm guilty. I can't go from watching a team chase a Super Bowl to, yay, we're the 8th seed. And it's like,
yeah,
that's insulting to the Pistons, and I don't want to be, because what they're doing is valuable and it is really encouraging, but it doesn't mean anything.
No.
The Red Wings, forget it. It's a tired, stale Tupperware.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they, plus 500 to make the playoffs still? Like, what am I supposed to do with that? To do what? Get aced out in the first round?
Yeah. And like for the Pistons, even though it was like 20 years ago, you still remember when they were at the top of the NBA. They were making it to the finals every year. And now, yeah, they, you know what? They could be the sixth seed in the playoffs. Okay, I guess that's good. Maybe I'll watch a game. Maybe I'll go down there. But there's no excitement. And I think for Lions fans, unfortunately, you may have graduated to seeing the Lions in that same viewpoint where if it's not a Super Bowl, if it's not an NFC title game,
it means nothing.
Yeah.
And listen, if you disagree with that, I don't think it's good person, bad person. I think we see the world in entirely different ways. And that's fine. But asking the question, I do wonder about it. Like, I wonder, all jokes aside, I break his balls on a daily basis. I wonder if Costa will be different.
I think he will.
You can't be this way next year. It's not possible. If you are, it just means you're an idiot.
No, because think about it.
I don't think Jim's an idiot. I think he's a very intelligent guy.
Mike, if they go out there, let's just say that lightning strikes twice and you hit a home run with the coordinators. Oh, by the way, it looks like they're going to be hiring the Broncos passing game coordinator Johnny Morton. They're flying him into town. You hit a home run. You go 15-2 again. Are you that excited as a Lions fan?
No.
Because you're like, well, we've seen this before.
I think the other thing we've got to talk about, and we have months to do it, is just, do you go all in versus this we want to be good for a long time tagline? I think there's so much to unpack. So we'll get to the people. This weekend was something. I'll just tell you. I feel for you, but it made me feel a little bit better because it beats losing to the Eagles. And for me, it's like, yeah, I don't want the pain you're feeling. I don't want to deal with what the Bills are dealing with. I'll just sit over here with my 3-14 team. Leave me alone.
You ready for your new QB?
Yeah. I don't care.
You're getting one.
Rico, I got nothing to lose. I mean, what are you going to do?
I mean, look.
We're taking Jackson Dart. It's going to be exciting.
You get a QB. You got a lot of pieces in place. Okay. And nobody wins the NFC East twice. Okay. You're back.
You're selling. You know, you're selling me a burnt out building and using AI generated photos. Cut it out.
But it's got an LED roof.
Right.
Okay. This Lions conversation. Host Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni, and near the end of the episode, we got some email from a guy, and he wanted to know about our outlook for the next year. And Mike and I apparently have vastly different outlooks for the upcoming season because he dropped in. If you offered me 11 wins, I'd take it right now. And I nearly fell out of my chair. He would take 11 wins right now for the Lions next year. Keep in mind, the Lions won 15 games last year
and 12 games the year before. I don't know why you would settle for 11. And I said, that feels kind of doom and gloomy. And he goes, what are you talking about? 11 wins? That's doom and gloom? Is that the new world we live in? How big a step back are they supposed to take this season? I understand losing coordinators is going to, you know, cause a reset, but they still got all pros. They still got Dan Campbell. I think there's going to be quite a bit of continuity, and the defense is getting healthier. Like, I want to know where you're at on this. Valeni yesterday said to me, and this was on Cash the Ticket, he goes, I would take 11 wins next year for the Lions. I expect a step back. Losing both coordinators is a big deal to him. And he said he would take 11 wins. And I go, what? John, where are you at?
This is an impossible ask to figure out what right now to put a number on it.
Right. We don't know free agency, the draft, or the schedule yet.
What I will say is, because when you're doing this, you're doing it with this year's team. And now you're under the assumption that all those guys that were injured are healthy and they're back. Because we have no idea what free agency brings. We have no idea who leaves, who's coming to Detroit. We don't have any idea what they're going to do in the draft. We haven't even talked about the draft here on this show. But I will say this. Do I think that there's going to be a step back in production in numbers? There certainly could be offensively.
They're the number one offense.
Number one offense. So can you stay at the number one offense with a new coordinator? I think it's unlikely.
Could you be three or four? Could you still have a top five offense? I mean, they still have a quarterback who's efficient. The terminology is not changing. The protection shouldn't change. The offensive line should largely be intact. He still has St. Brown, Gibbs, and Montgomery.
A large part of this, and we don't even know when they're going to play these teams. We know who the teams are, and I get that the away schedule, right? You get your three division opponents, and then you're at Washington. All right? Tell me that doesn't strike a little fear into you. You're at Philly. They're playing in the Super Bowl. You're at Cincinnati. That's a tough one to go to. You're at Baltimore, Kansas City, the Rams. Like the road schedule is a gauntlet. So you just look at those teams and you think, okay, will they, even though they could be as good as they were this year, and I say that with the offense maybe taking a little bit of a step back, the defense taking a big step forward just in terms of health.
Yeah.
Do I expect them to be a 15-2 team? No, I don't. But
park the bus, people.
My bus was at 14, so
you still could rub that bad boy up. Okay.
Let's just keep it warm. Do I think they're still the best team in the division?
Yeah,
Chicago, Green Bay, Minnesota. Absolutely. Does 11 wins win the division? It very well could.
It could.
In 25. Does 12 wins? I would. And okay, we're splitting hairs when we talk about this. I would probably go into right now, not having any answers, say that it's going to be at a minimum a 12-win team.
Okay.
And I think 12 wins wins you the division. Now, again, what's the difference between 11 and 12? And please don't text in one. But I do think that, okay, this year Green Bay won 11 games. Minnesota won 14. We're well aware of that. And the Lions won 15. I think the division is going to be much more competitive next year in division. I don't know what Ben Johnson does in Chicago, but I do think Green Bay is always going to be a menace. I don't think they're good or great. I think they're a menace. Minnesota, are they going with J.J. McCarthy? Is he going to even be available at the start of the season? What do they do with Sam Darnold? Like, I don't know who their quarterback is even going to be. I do know that Kevin O'Connell is a really good coach. So they're going to continue to be a good team.
Do I think the Lions will go 6-0 in the division? No, that feels really tough to duplicate. Do I think they'll win 15 games? No, that's super tough to duplicate. It's only happened 9 times in the history of the NFL that a team has won 15 or more football games. So by definition, they'll take a step back. They're losing the coordinators. There will be a resetting and a reshuffling there. I still feel like 11 wins is settling, though, because I still expect the offense to be top five. I think a full season of Aiden, a full season of Aleem McNeil, right? Just like I don't think they're going to go 6-0 in the division, I also don't think they're going to have 20 players on IR. So I think this is a 12-win team at least. I don't want to settle for 11 is why I was so caught off guard when he said it.
Well, and so I don't want this to come across as defending Mike, but I do somewhat agree with him because I'm sure part of the thinking is, all right, Aiden Hutchinson, coming off of a devastating leg injury, is he going to be the same? Is he going to hit the ground running at the beginning of the year? That's a big question mark. And
McNeil won't be ready to start the year, I wouldn't imagine.
Correct. And so if you don't have a lean McNeil, but then it goes to what are we doing in free agency?
Right.
What happened? DJ Reader is going to be a year older, but he's still, I thought he had a good year. There's just a lot of unknown. So if you just take everything at face value and say, well, I don't think they're another 15-2 team, so then you're left with, okay, is it 14, 13, 12, 11, 10? And there's some people that are going to say, oh, well, no, it's a step back all the way to 9-8. We will get those callers.
I know we will.
And we will get those people because you have two different coordinators. And I think there's going to be much more stability defensively. Defensively, they're going to be better than they were this year. And this year, they were better than they were last year
mm-hmm.
through a vast majority of the season. Offensively, just because you may take steps back in terms of numbers doesn't mean that that's a step back in losses or in wins.
Yeah, you and I have said this is Dan Campbell's offense.
Yep.
He has acknowledged that he was more involved with the offense post Anthony Lynn. I think Ben Johnson conceded the runway's been built and it doesn't matter who's calling plays. Hell, Dan may call plays. We don't know. I don't think the offense has fallen off a cliff, and I think the defense is going to be considerably better when healthy. I'm not willing to concede and just accept 11 wins. I'd like to give this team a chance to compete for more. They are one of the better rosters in the NFL. I wouldn't settle for 11. And honestly, it feels kind of like a safe week thing. Like, well, I'll just take 11. Now I don't want to compete for more. Well, you're every bit good enough to win more.
Anytime you take a deal like this at this time of the year, it's always going to be settling. And so it's I'm with you. I'm not willing to settle. I'm not willing to sit there and say it's a huge step back. But here's where I think they don't necessarily take a huge step back offensively. What do we know about John Morton? Yeah, he's been at a number of different places. He's only been a play caller once. That was 7 years ago. A lot has happened since then. The teams that he's been with, he has even been here. So he's not coming in blind. But coming from as a pass game coordinator, I like that they brought somebody in with that in their background, because that's the most complicated part of running an offense. It's the pass game coordinator along with the protections. And they kept Hank Fraley, so the protections are taken care of.
Huge deal.
He's coming from Sean Payton, and we all know Sean Payton is calling the plays. What type of offense does Dan Campbell run? It's Sean Payton's offense. Yeah. And where did he learn? He talks to Coach Payton. Talked about it last year. I guarantee you he's talked to him since the end of the season. And he talked to him about hiring John Morton. Like, can he come in here and is he willing to take direction from the head coach? You're not going to be in Denver and working for Sean Payton if you can't take orders and direction and handle leadership from the head coach position. Dan Campbell is going to be that leader of this offense. Now, is John Morton going to be calling plays on Sunday? Well, he might be. As long as he calls it the way Dan wants it.
As I say, I think there will be synergy there. Okay, response from you guys. Would you take 11 wins right now for next season? Texter says, I think 10 wins would be amazing next year. Losing all these coaches plus a tough road schedule, to me, it looks like 8 or 9. Signed, Ben. John, you knew we'd get these texts.
Sure.
One says, I think 11 is a good number. We have a favorable home schedule, but it's always going to be tough. Texter says it's not just losing the coordinators. It's the fact that Brad won't pick up star players, especially at end or linebacker. We're playing all the best teams in the league. We're a year older at every position. Some of that's good and some of that's bad. Texter says all we needed was a healthy defense and our team would essentially be the same again. We're healthy. We'll have the number one seed again. That's why you don't settle for 11. Texter says 11 is our floor for next year. Valeni is right. That schedule's brutal. I would take 11. Mike is just saying he wants them to make the playoffs. Expecting anything more sounds like one of those cookies double-digit discos. Bad take, Jim.
No, I don't think it borders on that. I think if you're going to settle for 11, you don't want the risk that you would be taking on the ceiling or the floor.
What's the risk if I don't take this deal? This team only wins 8 games. I don't really see that happening. I think they're going to be in the playoffs.
It's a playoff team. I think it's a playoff team. Without an injury to Goff.
Of course.
It's a playoff team. But what you're basically saying is if we're going to settle for 11, because I think 12 is going to be what it takes to win the division, then you're saying we're settling as a wild card team.
Texter says, who wouldn't settle for 11? No one cares about 15. I know we feel that way because 15 got them nowhere. 15 right. Got them in a first game exit. They got them a 2-touchdown loss at home at Ford Field. I understand people saying, what the hell difference does it make winning 11, 12, 15, or hell, all 17 of them? What difference does it make? Just get me in the playoffs. I agree, but I want, if all was equal, I'd want the home game, right?
Some of it's going to be...
I'd want a favorable matchup. Just because they didn't take advantage of it this year doesn't mean you never want it again.
Right. Some of it's going to be when do you play these teams? When do you play them early? And who are you playing in December? And we're looking at this as playing Baltimore at full strength, at Cincinnati strength, Philly, Washington, all at full strength. Well, what if Washington... One of these quarterbacks gets hurt? Now, all of a sudden, traveling to Cincinnati... doesn't seem so bad.
In terms of the division and the schedule, all the other NFC North teams have to play the AFC North, too.
Good point.
So they're playing those quarterbacks, too. I think the one thing with the schedule is you are playing 3 of the top 4 quarterbacks in the league. I mean, there's a definitive 4 right now. I think Lamar's 4th out of that, but Burrow, Mahomes, no Allen. Okay?
Yeah, let's say you
got to play them all in their house. So you go 1-2 in
sure.
those, okay? So you got to, if you're going to go 12-5, then... you got to go 11-3 with the others. I think that's doable if things pan out and they stay relatively healthy. I'm still a little curious about the defense, healthy. We didn't get to see him healthy against a top quarterback, other than if you want to include Stafford at the beginning of the year. And then, everybody knows the team had preseason cobwebs in that game. So there's a little bit unknown to this. I mean, and I would guess in this, it's going to be funny. I bet you Vegas... so that's the over-under for the Lions at 11.5.
I'm sure they will. They are spot on with this stuff. It's 97.1.
Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Anderson out today sick. Hope they're back tomorrow. 248-539-9797. Variety of topics. Lots of feedback coming in. Kelly and Fenton writes in the following. If your new coordinators are not upgrades, how do you know they become a better team? Because they have the most important thing. They've got the players. They've got a ton of players. They've got players that are going to return from injury that, barring what would be unprecedented back-to-back seasons of bad luck with having so many players on one side of the football injured, I'm pretty confident that they're going to be a better team. The coaching is incredibly important, but I'd rather have the roster that they have than and lose the two coordinators than lose some critical pieces on offensive and defensive sides of the football and keep the two coordinators. And I'm not downplaying their impact, but I think the thing is next year, just look at it as 7 defensive free agents joining this team, because that's what it's going to feel like when they have everybody healthy. Now, they got some work to do. They got to figure out a way to bring back Carlton Davis and Derek Barnes in particular, and maybe Fatu Melifamu. But, outside of losing all of them, I don't see there being any setback. I see them being better just by getting the guys they lost back. It's not exciting to talk about. It's not it's not some major move. It's just sitting tight and getting healthy. 248-539-9797. Give me a tush-push utilizing Penei Sewell. That's from an unnamed texter. I hope they ban that play. I can't stand it. I know it got stopped this weekend multiple times, and it does have that feeling of you can't stop it. But it's also just boring. It's like the worst part of rugby, and we're going to use it on really, really important plays. Hate it. The interview with John Morton went like this. Dan, let me see your right tackle pass play packages. Morton pulled out four binders. Dan, you're hired.
I think that's how it went down.
You think?
Obviously.
Scott writes in, oh no, they hired an offensive coordinator who's never done it before? Total rebuild. Oh, wait, Ben Johnson had never previously been an offensive coordinator when we hired him either. So, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know if these coordinators are going to be better, worse, or the same, but I think that you mentioned the players coming back is a huge boost just to the roster itself. And the coordinators, they just, hey, they got to keep the train moving. I think Dan knows he's going to instill to them what kind of game plan that he wants to run on both sides of the ball. And now it's up to the coordinators. They could be better, by the way. We can't discount that either. You know, that texter just mentioned we didn't know Ben Johnson was going to be this good.
Yep. Now, that doesn't mean the formula is to hire a guy with no experience. But it also doesn't, what it's saying is to the person that thinks they're doomed, they're not doomed. Kenny in Rochester, you're next. Hello, Kenny.
Hi, Doug.
So,
I think the team is going to be better next year, just because I feel like people are overlooking the reserves that played this year while the starters are on injured. So the thing is, these guys have gained experience. When you look at especially Michigan, the year that they won, you find that the starters were playing just the first or the second quarter, and then the rest of the they would play like 72 players. And that helped the starters out to just be able to stay off injury. And I feel like that makes the Lions a better team with the depth of players that are playing. And this has really helped Lions. It's a disguise, you know, a blessing in disguise that you get to play and you get all those minutes to be able to help to become a better player. So the injury, it's a blessing in disguise for the Lions moving forward. As a team,
I don't know if I'd go that far. And the reason is because it undermined a great chance to win a Super Bowl. Guys got experience, yes. And good for them. I mean, if I were to pinpoint one single thing that cost them this year, it's the accumulation of all the defensive injuries that they managed to overcome for a long time. It was really, really cool the way that they did. But I think it was the biggest piece of the pie of blame as to why this team didn't win a Super Bowl. So I can't call it a blessing in disguise. I can say that there is a positive to it that you are focused on there, that they did get some guys some experience. But anyway.
Yeah, there's some positives, but overall, I think I agree with you, Doug. That's what I think cost them the Commanders game and ultimately ended their season early is the attrition to the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
The whole thing that Gator, the tweet that he saw, whatever, the next man up only works when there's men to call up. You know, it felt like they just ran out of men. And did other players get better because of it? Yes, absolutely. But in the end, I think it hurt them a lot and ultimately caused their demise. I think this team could have got by if it was just Hutch that went out and a couple other guys, right?
Yep.
Or if it was just McNeil that went out and Hutch was still there, vice versa. Or a player or two in the secondary. The accumulation of everyone got them. It just did. Much. It was just too much.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Art in Monroe. You're on 97. Want a ticket. Hello, Art.
Hey, Doug. Always a pleasure, man.
Thank you for calling.
Yep. Hey, listen, I have had temper my expectations with a harsh reality. And that reality is the Lions could be a better team next year and have a worse record.
There's no question.
I strongly believe our window is still open. But with that schedule, I am convinced we could be a better team and not duplicate the season we had this year. And so I'm lowering my expectation. The other concern I have is there's no guarantee for us that Hutchinson and McNeil are going to come back the same players. And looking at this, I'm thinking McNeil may not even be available the first part of the year. So it's really incumbent upon Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell to find some free agent help and really get some more help in the draft to give us some depth, Doug, because everybody's seeming to talk as if we're going to be 100% healthy when the year starts. I'm not buying that.
Well, whether they're 100% healthy or just healthier, they're probably not going to be 100% healthy. I do think the probability of them being healthier than they were at the end of the season is 100% probable that they are going to be healthier than they were at the end of the season. But your comment at the beginning is something I talked about earlier this week, and that is I fully expect them to be a better team next year, and they might not have a better record. It doesn't mean they can't have success. It doesn't mean they can't win the Super Bowl. But next year's schedule at this point looks like a gauntlet. It looks ridiculous. It looks like the NFL took the list of the best teams in both the AFC and the NFC and said, here are your road games. Go to Philly. Go to Washington. Go to Kansas City. Go to Baltimore. Go to Cincinnati. Go to the Rams. I mean, it's not all of the best teams, but it's many of them.
Yeah, on paper, it's daunting. Just absolutely daunting.
Yep.
By the way, a lot of ticket texters are texting and letting us know that John Morton was an offensive coordinator in this league before, 1 year with the Jets.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
So this is not his first time being offensive coordinator. For anyone that, you know, if that makes you feel better.
That's awesome. Cool.
Did get fired from that job.
Yeah, which I was about to say, which, now that
it was 2017.
Which Jets team was it?
2017 he was hired. 2018 he was fired.
Yeah, well. Hopefully it was a learning experience.
But the Jets suck. Like, not just him. Like, everyone that's, you know, yep. they haven't made, I think they've got the longest streak of not making the playoffs.
Thank you very much. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Oh, God, I was hoping you didn't bring that back. Odyssey.com Rewind, you missed anything. And obviously, check out our YouTube if you like videos of us idiots. Funny show with Rico. It's free. Subscribe. It helps Evan. Thank you. All right. This is exciting. And by exciting, I mean depressing. We are going to lay to rest Nona today. She's dead. She's in her finest dress. She's in a pine box. David has done the sermon, and now we got to lower her into the dirt. It's over. Her spirit has gone to the sky. It is the five stages of grief. We are laying to rest the lion season. Enough time has passed. You've had a chance to process. But it depends what stage of grief you are in. Rico Beard is our resident deacon. You have the five stages with what it means as a fan.
Yes.
And you have to choose no more than two of these.
Of where you are at, Lions fans.
As we lay to rest.
It's been a while. You've had a chance to let this all digest. So we want to know where you're at right now. There are no right answers. There are no wrong answers because everyone grieves differently. So I'm going to start with the first stage of grief. It is denial. Denial for Lions fans means the Lions are still the best team in the NFL. Washington just got lucky, and they did the league a service because the Lions were going to win the Super Bowl, and they are still the best team overall.
What percentage of fans, see, I think Jim Costa's in that phase still. We got into it on the podcast a little bit today.
Yeah.
And he won't accept that losing both coordinators is going to hurt them at all.
Yeah.
He thought he was selling them short by having them as top five offense. I go, Jim, I'll tell you what, dry out. You're still on a bender. The alcohol hasn't processed through your system. Dry out.
Yeah.
Costa could be in that phase.
Denial.
Okay.
And guys, a lot of people are in denial right now where it just hasn't hit you yet. And you're like, no. We're still the best team. You know, get those machines back on is how you feel. Stage two. Anger. You're mad. You're angry. If you're a Lions fan, you believe it's all Ben Johnson's fault or it's all Aaron Glenn's fault. Why? Because they were interviewing during this playoff run. They weren't dedicated to the cause. They didn't show true grit. They were out doing other stuff and not game planning for the Commanders. And that's why you lost this thing. Anger.
I was there. Keep going. These are good. This is giving people guardrails.
Stage three, Lions fans, bargaining. Bargaining means if we would have just had all of our hurt players, we would have won. But because We had 22 people missing on our team. We didn't have it. If we would have just had those people back, we would have won this whole thing. So that's your way of coping with this. You're bargaining, Lions fans. You're looking at the injury saying, if it wasn't for that, we win. Fourth stage?
I think the third stage I was at the Monday we came on the air when Carlton Davis and Lee McNeil died. And I'm like, it's over. Yeah. If we had him, I'd be there. But I think I came to grips with that a month ago. All right, fourth stage.
Fourth stage depression. For Lions fans, depression stage means we'll never win. We're cursed. All our coordinators left. We got nothing here. We wasted this opportunity. Something's wrong with this team. Bobby Lane or whatever you want to call it, three letters, we're cursed.
No. Don't say the three letters.
We
don't
are cursed.
Okay, I'm definitely not in that stage.
That's depression.
Okay.
Stage five, acceptance. So where Lions fans will sit back and say, this was a great run, but we came up short. There's still a lot of pieces in place, and we still can win this thing next year. We'll bring in new coordinators, yes, but we still have the head coach. We still have the general manager, and we can get this thing done. I'm not going to let this year cloud my future. The future is still bright. I accept that we lost, but our run is just getting started.
David, would you like to sing Ave Maria as we lower Nona into the ground? No? What stage of grief are you at? You've had time to process. 248-539-9797. For me, it started as anger because I knew they blew an unbelievable opportunity, but it's acceptance. You took the team light. You didn't play well. You turned it over a zillion times. It just is what it is. You just accept it. It sucks, but you accept it. And they have a shot to be good again next year. I don't think nearly as good. And here we are.
See, I don't think a lot of people are acceptance. I think a lot of people, if it were just, I think they're in the bargaining stage. I still believe that they think if we just had half of the missing players who were injured on our roster, we could have corralled Jaden Daniels. We could have beat the Commanders. We would have beat the Eagles. And right now, you would be playing Taylor Swift and the Kansas City Chiefs. I think a lot of Lions fans, that's me, they're in the bargaining stage still. If we just had those people, we would have won. 248-539-9797.
Kenny, can we start with you as resident Lions super fan? You can pick up to two stages of grief.
So I've worked my way through them. I think right now I'm at the depression phase, not because I think we're cursed or anything. I think that's not who I've never believed in the three-letter acronym that this team is associated with. But it's just after working your way through the bargaining phase, I'm not at acceptance yet because the season hasn't ended. The Super Bowl hasn't happened yet. I think once that does happen, I'll be somewhere in that. Maybe it'll take till the draft. I don't know. But I've definitely worked my way. The denial part happened quickly. The anger part happened for a very long period of time. Bargaining, I was probably there earlier in the week, and right now I'm just... After you work your way through the bargaining phase, you have nothing left but depression in you.
Depression meaning, you know what? You realize you blew an opportunity.
Yeah, you blew it.
Depression means you had the number one overall seed, and you're out.
You were in a...
All roads were supposed to run through Detroit, and it didn't.
You were in a position where you were in the last window of your two coordinators before they ended up leaving. And then it's another year down the can, and you're looking at next year going, we're going to regress, guys. This is not going to be as good as it was this year. We may get as far. We may get farther, but it's not going to be nearly as easy. You're not going to be putting 50 burgers on teams anymore.
Well, ask Costa. He thinks you're going to be better. Somehow getting rid of Ben Johnson, you'll be better. He's in the – is there a delusional phase of grief?
No, but it sounds like he's more – that's denial. He's between denial and anger.
Okay.
It's – he blames the coordinators for leaving, and you know what? We didn't need him anyway.
But see, as I said to him is, okay, so essentially you're saying that Ben Johnson was not special at all.
Yes.
Well, wrong. You don't get to do that because I heard how special he was, that you would get mad at me when I said he was leaving.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Not you. I'm saying, for me, it's acceptance. It started as anger, but it's acceptance. There is no bargaining. I went through bargaining phase when Aleem and Carlton Davis died and Hutch died. Like that, the bargaining is a...
And see, I do wonder, Mike, not to cut you off, but I wonder if... Like, I look at Kenny as a hardcore Lions fan. I don't think you could hit acceptance yet. You will eventually. But as a hardcore Lions fan, I think it's too soon.
The one phase in here that I'm only going to be upset at people for one phase. And I think it's the third phase you named.
Bargaining?
Nah.
Depression?
Nah. The thing with Bobby Lane and curse depression. And SOL.
Yeah, depression.
All right. That phase?
Because you blew your opportunity and it means, what is wrong with this team?
Nothing. That phase, you're a loser.
But you're in depression.
Don't make me say, no, because I know what'll happen. I'll get taken out of context. I'm saying in this case of fandom, you're a loser. I don't understand, and Rieger did this, and I love Jeff, but for Christ's sakes, the invoking SOL on what took place, no, that's a coping mechanism. When you go into that is coping phase. Bobby Lane, Lions are cursed, wah, 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 we're never going to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, Mike, it's a coping mechanism, but you know what? To some, it helps them explain what just happened here.
What happened is
15-2
turnovers,
and now we're sitting on the sideline. Now your team's in Cancun.
It's turnovers. That's it. By the way, how many chains and things is Za'Darius Smith going to make that he hasn't earned? He made himself a chain with the captain C on it. You weren't selected a captain. Now he's got a Lions championship ring and didn't win a championship.
He's just trying to manifest these things into
existence.
That
sounds like retail therapy to me.
Okay. You know what? Where would that put him?
I don't want to know. 248-539-9797.
That's putting him in bargaining.
Okay.
If I'm captain, we'll win a title and we'll be back next year.
What stage of grief have you arrived at? Enough time has passed. I'm at acceptance. Rico says not many of you can find your way there. Costa's still in denial. Kenny is a combo meal, not quite at acceptance yet.
Yeah, and guys, just know this, you know, we're not going to sit here and judge you. We just really want to know.
You don't fight at a funeral.
Right. Everybody's going to grieve differently. Which stage are you in?
Your season's getting lowered into the ground. You don't get into a fight.
Yeah.
Maybe lay a Honolulu Blue Rose or a foam engine block upon it.
In 3 months, you could be at a different stage, but where are you at right now?
Wow, Grandpa moved on fast, huh? Yeah. Nona's not even in the dirt, and Grandpa's busy over at the home working his hips.
Dang,
wow.
Man.
All right.
Ours.com or whatever that's called.
Jeez. What is it?
Our time. There you go.
Well, actually, you know, let me walk over to sales. You're in that age group. It might work.
Oh.
Okay. That's for all your Giant stuff. You're a problem.
I'm telling you, you need a quarterback.
I need a new team.
Okay, I like the Giants. Big G likes the Giants.
Good for him.